And there might be a couple of questions as well. So that's us. And I'm just going to... Great. So Nepal has already been mentioned. And so we're going to head out there in 13 days. Counting down. Suddenly it's all come a lot closer. And a bit more real. Oxford to Nepal. And in Nepal to Pokhara. And that's a picture of Pokhara. And for a lot of us, for a lot of you maybe, Nepal, you know, the prevailing images are that of mountain peaks, really beautiful. How many people in the room have been to Nepal and have maybe done some trekking? And did you enjoy it? Yeah. Great, super. So yeah, you would have seen these sort of pictures. You would have seen it yourself. Some lovely landscapes, the culture, the history, which is absolutely fantastic. But obviously what's also there, and which is maybe not as acknowledged, is the poverty. And a good number of people, maybe 50%, live on a dollar a day. Let's call it a pound a day, because that makes a lot of sense. And maybe some of the children could suggest something to me that you could buy for a pound. Jakey. A chocolate bar. Probably. Can you still buy that for a pound? Just about, probably. Anything else that someone would like to buy for a pound? Yes? Yeah, probably. So, I mean, I had a little look through, rummage through my cupboards to find something that might, and I thought, maybe this chocolate Father Christmas, you might just about get away with paying a pound for that. But just sort of thinking, if you ate that, would that sustain you throughout the day? Not really. I mean, I can see the attraction, but if you had to eat one of these every day and nothing else, maybe not so nice. But yeah, it does look very nice. So that just puts it in perspective a little bit. It's not a lot of money to live on, especially when natural disasters strike. And they had a really bad earthquake there in 2015, which destroyed 800,000 houses. I mean, I can't really visualize that. I don't know if you can. But it just means people don't have somewhere to sleep. Like that lady, she's just wondering where she's going to sleep in the night. And a lot of people have actually slept in temporary corrugated iron shelters for 2 years or so now. And the rebuilding is just happening very, very slowly. So there's work to be done to move people from sleeping rough or sleeping in temporary accommodation into permanent housing again. And that's a classroom. I don't know how you feel about that, to see a classroom destroyed. Does it? But maybe you'll acknowledge that in the long run, actually, it is good to have classrooms and that it will help you. But so that's a new classroom that's been built there. Very simple construction, but earthquake resistant, and also some houses. And this is just a couple of organizations that are helping to make things happen in the country. Sometimes the government can't really do it all, so it's dependent on other organizations who come in and who help out. So BMS is the sending agency here in the UK, and INF, the International Nepal Fellowship, is our local partner organization, and they've been on the ground helping people to get back into houses and to reconstruct houses that are actually going to hopefully last through the next earthquake when it happens. So why do it? And that's just the underlying reason behind it is really that there is a God, and God cares for people. God cares for people's spiritual position and how they see themselves, but also care for people holistically, whether they've got enough food, whether they've got somewhere to sleep, whether the children can learn somewhere, or the children can have a comfy bed and a comfy room with their families. So that's what it's all about really today. Thank you.
Pippa, where's Pippa? Oh, there you are. I wonder, Pippa and young people, would a couple of you be happy just to come and just put a hand on them? Any of you? Yeah, come on then, Verdis. Yeah, Alex, thanks, Bonnie. Anyone else? Just happy to put a hand on them? Yeah, good. Thank you. I wonder if any of you would want to take the mic off me and just say just one sentence as a prayer, just praying for the family as they go to Nepal, for safety as they travel, for the work that they'll be doing, helping rebuild housing. Any, if you're happy to do that, just give me a nod and I'll pass the mic to you. Just one sentence is all, that's enough, okay?
Thank you, Lord, for Toby and Pippa, Jakey, Ella and Millie. Just want to pray that you'll be with them as they go and you'll give them peace and comfort as they go to Nepal.
Anyone else happy to pray?
Lord Jesus, we thank you that that Jakey and Millie have got some friends that they're going to meet in Nepal. Ask that you would help them enjoy each other and find out all the new things about living somewhere different and be able to find fun things to do together. And you watch over those new friendships. Amen.
I wonder if all of you at the front here, we can all just say together as a prayer, may God go with you. Can we say that together, children? May God go with you. Let's say that. Amen. God bless you. Remember that back in our September church meeting, we agreed wholeheartedly that we would be their sending church for this 18 months that they are going to Nepal. But this morning, I want us to remember that this is not all about the vocals and HBC. It's actually about four different groups that are part of this relationship. First of all, of course, there are the vocals, and they're being sent. And then there's us, Headington Baptist Church, and we are the sending church. But then we are partnering with BMS World Mission, and it's great this morning to have Roger and Nikki with us. Roger is the team leader for Asia, so great to have you with us. And also we have Paul and Dawn Weston here, who also work with BMS in personnel and support and so on. So it's great to have representatives who've traveled here today to show the relationship that BMS have here, and we'll hear from Roger in a few moments. And the fourth partner, as you saw on the screen, is the INF, the International Nepal Fellowship. Toby and Pippa are going through BMS, but when they get there, on the ground in Kathmandu and then, of course, Pokhara, they'll be very much working alongside INF. So there are four partners in this relationship. So what we're going to do is we're going to hear from Roger, and then I'm going to invite James, Jonathan, and Wendy up. Then we'll have some words of commitment, and then some prayers, and then Wendy at the end will share a few ways in which we can stay in touch with the vocals, hear their news, and pray for them, support them. Good. So, Roger, please, would you come up and share?
Thank you. Good morning. The partnership between BMS World Mission and the church sending someone overseas with us is very important. And I know Chris spoke about a four-way. I see a three-way at the minute, although INF, of course, come into that partnership. But the three-way relationship between BMS World Mission, Headington Baptist, and Pippa and Toby, as you prepare to send them out, is vital. And it's rather like that passage in the Bible, the three-chord strand, stronger together and not easily broken. And the example of the early church is our inspiration when we see the church sending people like Paul and Barnabas out on mission. But maintaining that vibrant, living, caring, and covenanted engagement. And shortly we too will pray, place our hands on this family, and send them out. And so today marks that sending out of the vocals by Headington to the people of Nepal. Furthermore, we're celebrating their call to overseas mission. And today also marks the official recognition before God of your relationship with this dear family as they work together in mission. Our service today highlights the commitment you are making to support them, while it also mandates the vocals to communicate with you and encourage you here at Headington in your own mission locally. A missionary as J. John said, is not merely someone who crosses the seas. A missionary is also someone who sees the cross. So we commend them to him, and we commend your mission as well. Amen. Thank you.
You stay there. Thank you. So, Toby, Pippa, Jakey, Ella, Millie, can I invite you up to the front, please? Now, if I can just say, Toby and Pippa are the one who verbally will be making these promises this morning. But Jakey, Ella, and Millie, you're going too, okay? You're going to Nepal too. And we recognize that you are part of this, that God has plans for you. He wants to do something in you while you're there, some wonderful things, I'm sure, and even to speak to other people through you. Perhaps about Jesus. So you're very much part of this. Roger and I are going to lead through these promises together, which feels very appropriate with the relationship that we're sharing. So, Roger.
Toby and Pippa, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord?
This is the God in whom we trust. For we are disciples of Jesus Christ.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ calls you and all people everywhere with the words, "Follow me"? And do you believe that at this time he calls you to work with BMS World Mission in Nepal?
We do. And as disciples of Jesus Christ, we will follow where he leads.
Jesus told his followers, "Go and make disciples of all nations." In your ministry, will you seek to ensure that the gospel of Jesus Christ is proclaimed and demonstrated in such a way that many may hear and understand the good news?
As followers of Jesus Christ, we will seek to make disciples.
You have heard God's call. Will you continue to listen to him, speaking to you through the people of a different language and culture?
As disciples of Jesus Christ, we will listen for his voice.
You have opened yourself to God. Do you believe that he has prepared you to go to Nepal to work in partnership with others? Do you go willingly to give and to receive, to teach and to be taught?
We do. We welcome the opportunity to give and to receive, to teach and to be taught.
Toby and Pippa, you have committed yourselves to share Christ with others. Do you now recommit your life to him? Do you promise to be faithful in prayer, in reading the scriptures, and in seeking the mind of Christ through reflection and fellowship, that all you do may be firmly rooted in the love and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ?
We do. We gladly and wholeheartedly embrace his call to follow in love and faithfulness.
Amen. Can we all stand, please? We are now, as the sending church, going to make two promises. The first one is we want to commit to pray for these guys whilst they're away, to pray for them, to offer them practical assistance as and when needed. And we see that's all part of our role as the sending church. So when I say this promise, if you're happy to do that, could you say "we do" at the end? We do. We have gathered because we believe that God has called Toby and Pippa to work in Nepal. We have come as a sign of fellowship and to surround Toby, Pippa, Jakey, Ella, and Millie with our prayers. Do you now commit yourselves to be faithful in prayer for this family and to support them in practical ways?
Amen.
And we're going to make a promise now because in sending them to Nepal, we are, through them, entering into something of a relationship with the Nepalese church. And it could be that, mediated through Toby and Pippa, there will be things we can learn from that church in Nepal. So we want to say, yes, we're willing to learn from this experience, this worldwide fellowship. If you're happy to make this promise, could you say, "We are, for we are one in Christ"? Can we just practice that? We are, for we are one in Christ. Okay. As we send Toby and Pippa and the children to Nepal, their departure makes possible a deepening of fellowship with sisters and brothers in Christ in that place. Are we willing to learn from and to be enriched by this wider fellowship? We are, for we are one in Christ. Amen. Please be seated, and would James and come up to the front to pray. Jonathan and Wendy as well have had a very key role in offering counsel and prayer and walking alongside Toby and Pippa and the family, so they are going to come. James is going to lead in prayer along with Jonathan and Roger. So let's pray together, shall we?
A verse from Deuteronomy: the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Just very mindful of, as we see here in Headington, that often the person who comes with the job drops into relationships, and the others of the family, there can be a bit more of a process. Let me pray into that one. Father God, I want to pray for the family. I pray for particularly for Pippa and for Jakey and for Ella and for Millie. I pray, Father, that you'd bless them as they seek to establish their place. Father, we pray for Toby. Thank you for the work he has. Thank you for the relationships he'll be straight into in that place of work. But I pray that quickly this place, Nepal, and the relationships there will feel like home for the rest of the family. There'll be the spiritual support for them, but there'll also be the clear direction as you go before them of that way that they can minister for you as well. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you and praise you for the way that you have led Toby and Pippa to this point. And as Toby said, it's becoming very, very real now as they're just a few days before they leave. Lord, I pray for these last few days. I pray for you to maintain them in health and strength and peace, as there are things they would like to do and there are things they need to do. Lord, help them through those things. Think of the visit to the King's School with Jakey, that would be a lovely time. It would be enjoyed, and he would see what a good place that is. Lord, I pray for their travel, that it would be an exciting moment for them, not a fearful moment, but they would go out with joy and expectation for all that you have for them over the coming months. And Lord, I want to thank you first, Lord, for the way that some housing has fallen into place for when they arrive. One of the concerns over the last little while has been where would they be living? And I thank you that something that looks very, very good has fallen into place. And Lord, I pray that really would be a blessing for the whole family, being with other people, with the children, having people to play with and space to play. Lord, praise you for that. And Lord, I pray for health and strength, both in the lead up and when they arrive. Lord, that you would protect them from bugs they haven't met before, and that you would give their bodies tremendous strength to deal with those things, that in the changes and in the stresses of moving in a new place, that they would really thrive and that you would be protecting them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And Lord, we just want to commit this dear family to you, Lord, and pray, offering our promises, Lord, of support, of prayer support, financial support, Lord, just encouragement. Father, may this family be a blessing. Father, just reminded of the beautiful smells of curry and dal bhat when I recently visited. And I pray for this family that they would be the aroma of Christ, Lord, to the Nepalese believers and those that don't yet know you. That sweet smelling aroma of Christ, Lord, may they just be able to break into friendships and friendship groups and be able to share you with them and to be them. To be your hands and your feet, Lord, in that place. Give them strength for the ministry ahead. May their children just know happiness, great friends. And Lord Jesus, may you just hedge them around, Lord, with your love and your protection, with your angels. As they travel out, give them journeying mercies. As they begin to settle in Pokhara, Lord, may you just confirm to them time and again that this is the place where you want them to be for now. Heavenly Father, we pray your protection upon them. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's exciting, isn't it? We're sending people out to do something really great in another country, and I hope we can be faithful in maintaining prayer and support with you guys. Thank you very much. Wendy is just going to say a few words about how we can hear news, stay in touch, and lunch.
Okay. Toby and Pippa will be producing a newsletter, and there'll be a sign-up sheet afterwards. I think probably if I hold on to that, then you can mingle. But do come and see me if you've not already signed up for that. That will be a great way of keeping in touch with what's going on. If that's a little bit too much information, I do a summary of news that I've received on a monthly basis for our Mission Matters bulletin. If you haven't already signed up for that, come and see me for that too. We also will be praying for them on a monthly basis as part of our mission prayer meeting. So if you're interested in that, that's on the last Friday of each month. You'd be very welcome to join us for that. We get we tend to get the bits of nuggets of news that nobody's allowed to write down, so it's fun to hear some of that sometimes. I have some of these lovely prayer cards. I would recommend, if you want one of these, come and get one from me afterwards, and put it up somewhere where you're going to notice it every day, and that will help you to pray. And there are prayer points on there, so if you're kind of a bit stuck for, oh dear, what shall I pray for them today, there's some ideas on there, which is great. From experience, I know that it's lovely to hear from people back home, so do think to drop them a line from time to time. Tell them what's going on in your life, tell them what's going on at church, because you'll probably feel very far from what's going on here. And while you might not think about us all the time, sometimes, you know, it's just really nice to know what's going on, so do think to do that. If you've got any free time in the next 2 weeks, there's a lot to do. So do talk to Toby and Pippa afterwards. I'm sure they've got a list as long as their arms, longer in fact, of things that you can probably help out with. So yeah, do talk to them afterwards about that. And if you're still here at 1 o'clock, then we are going to eat together. Do feel free to stay and share lunch with us. Thank you.
Be seated. Slightly shorter sermon today. Okay. I was walking the dog a few weekends ago. It was a Saturday, and I was walking up Shotover, and inevitably on a Saturday when I'm walking the dog, I've got this book with me that you always see me with, my black book, because I'm just sort of refreshing myself about what I'm going to be preaching on and learning that, praying about that. And as I was walking with this book open in front of me, I heard this voice shout out, is that a step to the left? I'm seeing if this means anything to any of you here. Well, I looked down, and sure enough, my path was about to diverge. There was a left and a right. I said, well, actually, I am going to the left, but why are you asking sort of thing? And he came up, he said, no, I mean, is this the initiation for Freemasonry? He said, we have the step to the left. We have a lot of words to learn, and generally they're in books like this one. This is a very generic black book, by the way, but I said, no, it's not. I said, I'm a Baptist minister, and I'm learning my sermon for tomorrow. And he said, well, it's almost the same, and he stopped. As it's not. It's not the same thing. But it was very interesting. And so first of all, I'm not, despite the Book of Freemason, okay? But secondly, it just reminded me that we are all on a journey through life, and people choose to take different wisdoms for that journey. But we as Christians very much look to God, the God who is there, the God who made us, God of Scripture, to guide us, whether it's a step to the right, the left, or forwards, or a step back, or whatever. God is our guide in that. And this morning we're continuing with that series on waiting on God. And today's title is Why Wait for Direction. And this feels so appropriate today with what we've just done We have a lived out, fleshed out example of this before us. Now, back in November, I did a session with the youth over in Barbara's cottage just behind us, and it was about guidance, and I did a little icebreaker. I gave them a sheet of paper and a pen, and I said, draw your picture, your face in the middle, and then around that, I want you to draw pictures, images, symbols that depict the decisions you will make towards where you want to be when you're 30. Alex is nodding, remember it. So, you know, they did that, and some of them had car keys because they want to learn to drive. They had mortar boards for university, a business suit, picture of the parents' home, stuff like that. But I then spoke with them and said, well, how are you going to come to the point of making these decisions? As Christians, how do we look to God to be the one guiding us through that? And I did one to show them, this is my example. That's me in the middle. And then Hartford Bridge there represents when I was 8 years old and we moved to Oxford, which was for me a very significant step for our family. The Bible there represents when I was 15, and I felt God calling me to just immerse myself in his word and that I'd be a Bible teacher in the future. Then we have university, and then the sense of calling to go to India, where I lived for 3 years teaching there, but that's Breeze. and that's my house in Yarnton. And then the call to come and work here at Headington Baptist Church, and then the two girls, and then the huge decision of getting a dog. But what I noticed when I went through this, what struck me is how many times at key moments in my life I have had a sense of God guiding me. And I wanted to share a few of those. There are eight that I wanted to share, but I'm just going to share two, okay, which is very restrained. First one is, when I was a student at Birmingham University, the current CU president, he invited me for coffee, and he basically said, Chris, we want you to prayerfully consider being the next president of the CU. Now, that's a lovely offer, but it was a big CU of 200 or 300 people, very big, very scary to be leading a group that size. And he said, take the Easter vacation to think and pray about it. So I went home, and I was reading through 2 Corinthians at that time, and I got to 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, which says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And this hit me like a steam train. I thought, this is God speaking to me. God is saying, I will be there. I will be the grace you need. Your weakness will become an opportunity for my strength. But then you see, being who I am, I thought, well, maybe I'd have just thought that anyway, because I'm reading through 2 Corinthians. It fits. Is it really God? And so I said to God, I want another Christian, before I go back to university, to come and share that verse with me. And that was my prayer for the rest of the vacation. Got to the last Sunday. I was due to drive up that Sunday afternoon before the M40 was built to Birmingham, up the old way. And I said to God in the Sunday morning service, this is your last chance, sort of thing. I said, because if nobody shares this verse with me, I will go back and I will say, you know what, I don't know. Well, we had the service, the worship, the preaching, communion. And after communion, the minister stood in front of me. I was on the front row. And he stood in front of me for, must be 1-2 minutes. I was so excited. This is it. It's going to happen. And then he went back to the front. And he opened his Bible. And he said, I have a verse for someone here. And he said, it's my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And that was thrilling for me. I don't do this to God now, by the way, but that was thrilling for me because it meant I could go back with confidence and say, yes, I know that this is what God wants for me. If I can just give you the second example, going forwards 8 years, it was 1996, and I had worked with students in England for 5 years. I'd just done 3 years in Liverpool specifically, and I was at a dinner party, and at the end of the meal, a lady, who was the host, in fact, said, do you mind if I prophesy over you? And I thought, well, I do, actually. Because it's a dinner party. It's not what we do, is it? But But begrudgingly, I said yes. And then she said, could you kneel on the floor? So I knelt on the floor. But she prophesied over me. And she said, God is sending you to another country, and you will not have to do anything about it. Well, that's amazing, isn't it? The next week, I got a call inviting me to go to India to teach there for 3 years, out of the blue. Now, if I got that call out of the blue without this prophecy, I may have dismissed it, but I knew I had to take that seriously. I didn't make the decision on the basis just of that prophecy, but it signaled to me, listen, because maybe God's telling you something here. You know, these are wonderful experiences, and I'm not sharing mine because they're special. I'm sharing them because they're just illustrations of how I believe God loves to guide us. Now, I can't say God guides me like this every day of the week, but it's a bit like, sorry, Satnav was about to get mentioned, wasn't it? But, you know, Satnav thankfully doesn't speak to you all the time, but it will speak to you when you've got a decision to make and a turning to make. And for me, my experience is that it's often at those turning points where I've sensed God guiding. But I do need to add that I don't think God's guidance is automatic. I do believe we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to say, God, be my guide. And I want to wait on you for that direction. Because you've got more wisdom than me, and you've got more knowledge than me, and you know what is right and best for me in this situation. So I sincerely hope we all believe here God wants to guide us. And I just want to look at a few verses from Exodus 13. These verses are taken from the time when the Israelites had left Egypt, but they were right at the beginning of that journey. They hadn't even crossed the Red Sea. Okay, right at the beginning. So Exodus 13, 21 to 22. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Well, that's great, isn't it? This is a cloud and fire in Scripture represent God's glory and his power and of course, therefore, his presence. And they were in this, you might say, luxurious situation where the invisible God provided a very visible means by which he would guide them on the journey. And we're on a journey too. Some of us are on our way to Nepal, but we're all journeying through life. And we have all been called by God, like the children of Israel, from that place of captivity, a bad place, a place of bondage to sin and death. And we're on that journey to eternal life, to heaven ultimately. And God wants to guide us just as much as he wanted to guide his people back then. How does God guide? How is he going to say to us, here is a way, walk in it? I don't think God uses pillars of cloud. It wouldn't work very well here, would it? We'd be all over the place. But God does have ways he wants to guide us. And I think one of the key ways we have to acknowledge is Scripture. You know, it strikes me sometimes as ironic if we're saying, God, what should I do? What should I do when we have it, if his word is next to us and it's not even open? That's like saying, where do I go when you've got a map right next to you and you're not even opening the map? You know, so Scripture is our actually daily guidance from God. It tells us what to do on a daily basis. And certainly for me, any experiences of guidance I have had, Scripture has almost always been part of that, sometimes the main part. So let's remember that God guides us through his word. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 25, 4 to 5. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Proverbs 3, those very well-known verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And then we have this New Testament verse, which I think Jesus is very much signaling the role of the Holy Spirit in bringing God's word and truth to those early followers of Christ. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Okay, so God's word is absolutely vital for us when it comes to waiting on him for direction. But God also guides in other ways. God guided Joseph and Mary through a dream. After Judas's death, how did they choose a new disciple? They cast lots. Interesting one, that, but presumably they entrusted that decision to God. Peter had a vision on a rooftop, and through that he knew that he should leave Joppa and go to Caesarea. Saul also had a vision, accompanied with an audible voice. Many in Scripture were guided through specific prophecies. Balaam was guided by means of a donkey, Gideon by a fleece. We could go on. Acts 13, verse 2, for me, is very significant. There it was as the church in Antioch were to worshipping and fasting, it was whilst they were doing that that God told them to set aside Paul and Barnabas, and they were sent. And we know how significant that was. And there's a little reminder for us there. Well, in all of these things, that yes, we have the Holy Bible, we also have the Holy Spirit, and they absolutely work together. Okay, they work together. They complement and confirm one another. And so when, as we seek guidance, sometimes we have that voice within, and sometimes it's a very compelling voice, and I believe that's the Spirit at work in us. We're good Baptists, are we? Johnson, you're a good Baptist? Yes, church secretary. We're good Baptists, and it's very important, actually, because we believe that we need to seek God, not just for our lives individually, but for our shared life together. And as a Baptist church, we do that through meeting as members and seeking God's will for the future. And we're trying to do that increasingly. So the title for today, Waiting, Why Wait for Direction, it's absolutely core to what it means to be a member of a Baptist church. So we don't have the cloud and the fire in the sky, but we have something probably better, which is we have the God of the cloud and the fire living in our hearts. Toby and Pippa have experienced, I believe, very clear guidance that brought them to this point. I remember I met with them a while ago, and they were saying, well, we're just wondering what next. Should we buy a bigger house with our expanding family, maybe on North Way? Or is there something else that God is calling us to? And it was a something else. And they felt led themselves. That was confirmed by various individuals that they spoke with. And also now through circumstances as well, some of which have been mini miracles in themselves, really. So would you be going if you didn't think God was sending you? No, no. We'd go for a holiday, wouldn't we? I've been to Pokhara. I've got most. I was the most sunburned in my life in Pokhara. So I went out on the lake there without a t-shirt on. So don't do that. But we would not go. You would not go and take your family with you unless you were very clear God was leading you. Right. Let me just say three more things very quickly before we apply this to ourselves. The first one is God doesn't always lead us into comfortable situations. I love Psalm 23, all that lying down in green pastures and walking beside still waters. You know, if that was the only chapter in the Bible, we'd be fine, wouldn't we? But it's not. And it's very clear. Sometimes God leads us through real difficulties and challenges. Think about the Israelites. Where did the fire and the cloud take them? Well, first of all, it took them to the shore of the Red Sea, which looked totally impassable to them and terrified them. Of course, God made a way through. Then it led them into the desert of Shur, where there was no water for 3 days until God worked a miracle and made the waters at Marah drinkable. And then they moved on to Elim. Now, Elim was a better time. There were 12 springs and 70 palm trees. But you can't stay in Elim. That's not a denominational statement. That's just a... God moved them on from Elim, and they went into what is actually called the desert of Sin. And there was no food there. Again, they grumbled at God. So God provided manna and quail. Then God moved them on to Rephidim, where, again, there was no water. Now, this is where the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud led them. These were not mistakes. God took them to places where they had nothing to drink or eat, at least so it seemed. So let's not assume, Toby and Pippa and the rest of us, that God's path is always easy. It's not. And this is why we need to remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6. He said, don't worry. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear. Leave that to your Heavenly Father. He knows what you need on the journey. But seek first my kingdom. So that's the first thing. Secondly, when we go wrong, when we get things wrong, God can make them right. Sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes we mishear God. I'm sure we've all had some maybe big or small experience of that. But the great thing is, God can take us on from where we're at. He doesn't say, oh, you're in the wrong place now, and that's really blown it. He takes us from where we are, not from where perhaps we should have been. On Sunday, I spoke at Camberley Baptist, and on the way back, I misread my sat-nav, and it meant I went down the M4 instead of the A404, which is a very costly mistake in lots of ways, and it was not really easily reversible. But I still got home, because the sat-nav can do that for me. And, you know, if you feel, as you look back at your life, some of my decisions perhaps were not the best, can I encourage us that God is well able to take us from where we are to where he wants us to be, to that destination. And then finally, it's not all about the destination, okay? It's not all about the destination. It is also about what happens along the way. What is it that God wants to do? God wants to make us like Christ, and through us, that others may also find and become like Christ. That's what the journey is about. So as we look to God and wait on God for guidance, we need to recognize that the right question is not which road is the easiest or which road is the most comfortable or which road is the most physically secure or financially secure. The question is, on which road will I see Christ formed in me, and through me, Christ formed in others? That's the question. As we seek guidance, which road will see Christ formed in me, and through me, see Christ formed in others? Romans 12, verse 2. Let me finish with this. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, I'm aware it's 11:45, but there's a response that I'd just like to do quickly with you. I need a bit of help from a few people, if you would. Just come up and help me give out some sheets. Volunteers, please. To just, if you need them, some pens. Yeah, and before we sing our final song, this is a picture of you, by the way. And I want you to draw around that some images depicting some of the decisions you've taken. And perhaps also one about a decision you're facing right now. Maybe some you have to face in the future, okay? And then at the bottom there it says, have you experienced God's guidance in the past? And if you have, then just take a moment and thank God for the way he's guided you. Are you waiting on God for future direction? And if so, is the desire to see Christ formed in yourself and others a key factor in how you think through those decisions? So take a moment to do this. It may be that you can, if you're comfortable to do it, you may want to just turn and pray with the person next to you, but if you don't want to do that, that's fine, just pray on your own. But take a moment and think, how is God guiding you, and am I waiting on him for direction today?